Thank you very much, Grace, for coming in, because you were definitely the person who's probably most responsible for teaching me about sustainability and environmental issues.
You're welcome.
As background, you're like an environmental economist. Economist. I'm getting that out right, sort of vaguely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't work on the radio. You got to say yes, no, be a little bit. Yes.
Audio as opposed to visual.
And there is. Let me grab my notes here and so on. There was. What was it? On Monday. When Jean Charest, I'm having all sorts of difficulty with my lips and tongue this morning, which is not good if I'm on the radio. He came out with something where he was touting that Quebec was going to be like sort of number one in the forefront as far as environmental sustainability issues and reducing greenhouse gases and stuff like that.
That's correct. Yes, he's touting that Quebec is going to achieve minus 25% greenhouse gas emissions reduction compared to 1990 levels. And although that this is a fantastic position as compared to the federal one, which is a mere minus 3%, I think, in my opinion, that Quebec could have done a heck of a lot better. Particularly because we do have some hydroelectricity power here in the province, and hence the efforts to achieve those targets of minus 25% is not enough. I think we could have gone further. The way that they have gone further in some of the European countries, such as Sweden and Germany, where real efforts and real changes are being made, where people are feeling it day to day, both within their communities and in terms of changing their own behavior. So we're not there yet in Quebec, although I have to say it's still a step in the right direction.
Why do you think there is not the same sort of push as there is in Europe?
Well, I think that here in Quebec there really is a general apathy as regards environmental issues, even though Quebec calls itself the greenest province in Canada. Compared to Europe, where I lived for over 10 years, and it's now three and a half years that I'm back in Canada. So when I make the comparison to my time in Europe, I notice that we're not there yet. You know, and one of the ways in which you can measure as to why we're not there yet is because we still don't even have many of the regulatory frameworks in place to drive environmental issues forward. So from a even regulatory point of view, we're very far behind as compared to the Europeans.
And do you think that it is due to inertia on the politicians' part and unawareness of the general population's part, or refusal on business's part, or any combination or something else?
Yeah, definitely a combination of all of those.
Okay, anything larger, more the. Or does you think it's a combination of all three equally?
I think it really is a combination of all three equally. In Europe, there was we don't have the same population levels as they have. Our geography is quite different in terms of Canada being a huge country. We have a very cold climate. So the socioeconomic and geographical realities are very different, and hence, you know, so was the regulatory environment around it. And I think that governments are somewhat scared to dabble with environmental regulations. They perhaps fear that there will be a flight of industry. But that is not the case. We see it in Sweden. We see it in Norway and some of the northern European countries that are more comparable to the Canadian dimension. And they're very far ahead as compared to where we are. Canadians and Quebecers in particular think we have an unlimited supply of water. We have an unlimited supply of clean air.
Wait, You mean Hudson's Bay isn't going to serve us all forever and ever and ever?
No, the reality is that is not the case. We need to put more stringent measures in place in order to protect these precious natural resources for future generations.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do you think there's any third of... Yeah, if you're saying that they're all three equally responsible, is there any sort of... What would be the sort of straight... The path of least resistance to get these changes done?
Well, I think it needs to really be a process of top down for governments to kind of come out with some of the more regulatory measures that would be required. Let's take packaging. Here in Quebec, we have this curbside recycling. Where does your used packaging really go? Are there any targets that have to be achieved every year? What is the recycling rate for each of these different materials? You see, you know, these are some of the low-hanging fruit which are not even dealt with. So there are so many things that could be done really to deal with some of the more easy stuff as regards environmental policymaking. And that is... You know, we're not there yet. We're still not even dealing with these issues. We're not even, you know, dealing with improving our public transport systems, of having certain measures in order to get more cars off the road. And the list goes on and on. But we can really start by tackling some of the easy stuff, some of those low-hanging fruits, and then from there move on to some of the bigger picture issues, such as climate change, the northern part of Canada, where these impacts are felt much more significantly.
Okay. It's, yes, 7:18 going into 7:19. This is CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Yeah, we're talking with Grace Barrasso about general environmental issues, although we have a couple of ads to play, and then after that, I think we end up going to Margo, but then we'll get back to Grace on some more specific things. So if you will allow me to slide that up, turn that on, and we will be back momentarily. Okay, well, thank you very much, Margo. We're going to speak to you again a little bit later in the show as well. And Grace, we can get back to you.
Okay.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you is, given that you're saying that Quebec, while sort of talking the talk, is not walking the walk as far as sustainability issues are going, are there any specific Quebec companies that are walking the walk? In terms of, are there any ones that are doing better than expected, better than others who would be or going down the right path as far as sustainability issues? There you go. I have difficulties with my lips and tongue again this early in the morning.
I don't want to pinpoint any companies in particular. But
this is flag waving, saying they're doing a good job.
Yeah, I mean, I think that some of the big companies, the Quebec-based companies, some of them are doing pretty well overall. You have companies such as Rio Tinto Alcan, who is no longer Quebec-based, mm-hmm. but nonetheless. And I think that overall, their environmental performance is stands out amongst their industry peers. And one of the reasons that is the case is because they have the resources to do so. Then you have some other companies, such as Cascade, who is a Montreal-based company, and they are in the business of, for example, recycling paper. This doesn't mean that they are a green company, although they are now starting to make some efforts. They are starting to seriously look at sustainability issues to say, what is the next step? Where can we go from here? So some of these larger companies in Quebec are starting to be more awakened to these issues. Not just because it is the right thing to do, but from an economic point of view, they can reap some of those advantages from a financial perspective. So it really looks at how can you build value around sustainability, and there is a lot of value to be built, and it will bring some positive financial benefits for to those companies who do it right.
Are there any specific benchmarks, or sort of you talk about peer groups and so on, and realizing that within sort of, yeah, because Rio Tinto taking sort of all that stuff out of the ground is not exactly sort of a poster child for, oh, we are doing everything perfect and wonderful and we are making everybody happy and so on.
Oh, sure.
But it is realizing within their industries, what are, within, say, smelting and making aluminum and stuff like that, what would be some of the benchmarks you'd be looking at that makes Rio Tinto Alcan a better corporate, what would be?
Citizen?
Citizen, that's the word I was looking for. It's the brain also is not working terribly well this morning.
Well, from a smelting perspective, you require a heck of a lot of energy for every ton of aluminum produced. And therefore, one of the biggest indicator would be reducing your energy. And Rio Tinto Alcan has reduced its energy over the last couple of years. But more important than that is also looking at the final product that is placed on the market. So I think that the company has an environmental stewardship responsibility in the fact that for every can, Coca-Cola can that is placed on the market, they should be implicated to ensure that this aluminum can is properly recycled and does not end up in a landfill. So we need to look at some of our these issues really from a supply chain perspective, and how companies can build value along the supply chain, particularly in Canada, where we are a very resource-based economy, where we are pretty much in the extractive industry side, and where our materials and our natural resources end up in all kinds of different products with far-reaching global implications. So really to start examining and looking at these issues from a supply chain and global perspective, I think would add a heck of a lot more value to the products, and it would build reputational issues around the company, and it would generate those kinds of benefits to consumers who would say, hey, I want to buy this product because this company is doing a lot more good than that company.
Cool. At which point, it is 7:29. Got Robin here. He's got a guest in for his big idea and so on.
Indeed.
We're going to be switching some microphones, but Grace, thank you very, very much for coming in.
It's been my pleasure.
I'll promise you that next time we have you in, my mouth and lips and brain will all be working much, much better.
Need a strong espresso next time.
Exactly. Thank you.